D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really.
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
2 out of 3 is not bad. Yeah.
Wait, so you have to redo that.
That's big money right there.
Oh,
Saints.
He's good for it.
Let's send him the bill.
I love this book.
He loves the podcast. Hey, welcome in. It's another week, another edition. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew recording here in our palatial studios, the virtual studios. With me, to my left, what's your name again? Tomas Mauricio?
Here.
I'm used to doing Heath, and I kind of literally got stumped there for a second. But I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. We also have Tyler over there in the booth producing the show for us. Going to knock out some statistics for us today. We got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. We, you know, we've kind of been going over like this half and half. 1 week we have the show, 1 week we don't. You know, and
it's all up to you, Mr. Romero.
I want to remind everybody we are broadcasting in audio for the visually impaired
and visually for those who are deaf.
You can watch now, so you can go over to,
or if you're hard of hearing,
yeah, you can go to YouTube. Check
or
out
if you need
the,
glasses. Like, I mean, we get everybody covered.
You got it all covered.
As a matter of fact, even more so, if you have an opinion and would like to submit it to us. Dave?
You know, man, I got it. You know, it's been like 2 weeks since I thought
about it.
All
right, let's see if you do,
brother. So it's 701-901-1295.
Uh-huh. Yep. There you go.
That's the graffiti hotline. Give us your thoughts, opinions. Listen, we're only a couple of weeks away. Matter of fact, I already have my room booked. The only thing, I haven't gotten the car scheduled, but I'm kind of waiting for that good deal.
I see.
You know, so I don't have to drive around like a little compact car with the where the clowns get out of it and everything.
Yeah, where your knees are up underneath your chin.
Yeah, if you work the right deal, you know. So got the plane booked, everything, heading to Saints camp. You know, but right now, man, it's the.
And so, who are you buying a pole boy for this year?
I don't know, but I'm sure that. Listen, I've been.
I mean, Tyler wants. Tyler, don't you want to know about that, brother?
Tyler.
Yeah.
Tyler knows about it. Tyler knows all about the. The pole boy story. Everybody knows about it. That was a big deal last year.
I know, but we're interested in knowing who is this year's
You never know. That wasn't something I arranged.
You're bro buddy now. You know
it wasn't something I arranged. It just
BFF,
happened.
BFF, you know.
You know, just when you in the, what do you call that?
Like in the moment.
The spotlight. No, when you at the right places where the right people are.
I see.
Like that little hidden little sandwich shop around the corner. You never know who you're going to run into. Matter of fact, I'm sure Adrian Peterson, at this point in his career, he's probably telling all his friends, you know who I ran into over at a sandwich shop? I mean, it's not long. I don't think – have the Saints signed him yet? I didn't check. I'm behind
on the
news.
He's bought a couple of sandwich shops himself.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hot. Breaking news.
Breaking news. You know? Oh, wait, breaking news.
There you go.
There you go. It's breaking news. I guess we're going to need to put the that only goes to the video. We have to work all this stuff out. Yeah. We have 2 weeks. We have 2 weeks to get this ready.
Adrian Peterson has gotten into the sandwich franchise to compete with Drew Brees.
Is that right? Are you just saying this?
Up.
Oh, okay. I'm like, man, I didn't read that anywhere.
Mr. Gullible over here. I just have to say it with a straight face. I am the voice of authority.
Well, then that's what you have to do. If you want people to believe it, you just got to say it with authority.
That's what
I
do.
And then throw out a stat. Like, you know, 97.3. The one I love is the golf stat. You know, like 97.2% of all putts that are left short won't go in.
That's correct.
So, you know, you put something like people have to believe it.
Well, I'm just saying to you that it is a well-known fact that the least expensive franchise out there right now is Subway.
Well, because they're putting out those 4.5-inch subs.
Well, there you go. And well, again, it's a perfect match for you and your friend Adrian.
No, I think they probably should be making all kind of money with their shaving.
You would
off.
Think, huh?
You would think that there's 1.5 inches there. They should run a special on a 3-inch sub. If my math is right,
it's just too easy for me. Just keep throwing those softballs.
I'm just saying, it's a 3-inch sub that they, you know. So
yeah, well,
anyway.
I just thought it was breaking news that you should know about.
Well, I want y'all to know that we have. Reporters standing by.
That's right.
Standing by waiting for breaking Saints news.
That's right. Well, I'm just telling you, he's opening shops right next to Drew Brees' shops.
Oh, is he using his market data? Do you
know
that Burger King does that? Do you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, so McDonald's does all this market research, right, to know where's the right place to put a McDonald's. So then Burger King just puts a shop up where, like, oh, well, let's find a spot.
That's not real. That's kind of sort of true.
Oh, that's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're on the street.
No, because that's my one of my fields, real estate.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, this is why when you're driving down the street and you come to a corner and you say, hey, look, they got a McDonald's, a Burger King, a Popeye's, whatever else. And you say, well, I wonder why. They all know. People go home and say, hey, I need something to eat quick. You know, hey, let's stop at McDonald's today. Tomorrow, hey, I got to go home. Hey, we went to McDonald's yesterday. Let's go to Burger King today. That's why they're all, same thing with the drugstores. You come to a corner, you see Walgreens, CVS, right? They're all the same place. You're like, dang, how can I be making any business when all three are the same place? That's the reason why.
I don't.
See, that's how real estate works.
I don't understand it. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of things that
I thought
I understand.
Then they go broke, and they wonder why they go broke.
There's a lot of things I don't understand, and it comes to be true later. You think you could do all? We were just talking about it. You do all the best planning in the world, research, figure it all out, put it in the right spot, do the right thing.
You do all your homework.
Sell the rights, all the homework, and then you go out of business, and then the other person just comes up, and next thing you know, they're super successful, and you're just like, how did that happen?
And
I mean, I'm telling you, preparation, and I do believe that the more prepared you are, the more likely you are to be successful.
Sure, absolutely.
But there are a lot of people out there that are successful that they just –
It
just happened upon it. I've seen it 100 times.
Pet rocks.
Something I think you might find extremely, because aren't you a big Madden guy?
No.
I thought you were a big Madden guy.
No.
Don't you play Madden online all night long?
No.
No? Okay. Well, the Madden ratings came out, and
I don't
think
know why
that
you people have all this time to play these games.
I used to.
I'm usually working 12, 14-hour days, and then I'm tired, and I got to go back, got to go to sleep and start over the next morning.
Tomas.
Where do you think you'll find me at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Okay, first of all, you pump an iron at the gym.
That's right.
He's a grunter. If you didn't know,
the gym I go to. If you grunt, they got a big giant light and siren thing. Anybody who grunts, they hit that button. No grunters. No grunters allowed.
Like if you're really trying to put one more out, like you're not trying to be a grunter, you're not really a grunter, but happen to grunt and they just embarrass you.
In my youth, it used to be about the free weights, but in my old age now. Gotta have the machine.
Well, I got a little gym at home,
mm-hmm.
and that's all I have. I don't have the money for all those, you know, all the cables and stuff. So I still go old school.
Still go old school.
I do. And you know, it's camp time.
Yeah, you're 20 years younger than I am. That's all right.
I have to get ready. Like the players, I'm getting ready for camp. You know, I'm hitting the weights, man. I've been dieting. I'm doing my walking. I'm walking like a half a mile a day.
A half a mile.
5 days a week.
Yeah.
Sometimes I gotta miss.
Kids, so you don't really have to walk half a mile. You just have to chase after your kids.
Well, that helps too. Yeah. I promise. Them little rascals, though, boy, they hard to catch nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, let's see some more stuff. Brandon Browner, 4 felonies.
Imagine that.
So kidnapping's one of them. So the holding goes beyond football.
Right, there you go.
Right next into.
I was gonna say he's been practicing.
Mm-hmm. I saw an article and it was the Saints versus Atlanta and position by position. Thought it's pretty interesting. Thought it's pretty fair. I think we might have to touch on that and see what we think. The only problem is I say we're going to touch on it, but I know what you're going to say. So what's the point of talking about it?
Well, I might say that, you know, there was that article that rated the best quarterbacks per division.
Okay.
And NFL South, it was Matt Ryan.
I saw that too, man. I don't know. These clowns. It's the time of year. Here's the thing.
Maybe, and did you go to Falconaholics?
No, I did not.
No, you see, I tried to bring in everything that I can.
You're touching on all the
different
teams.
So I went to Falconaholics because they sent me a note about they had some article about comparing all the South teams. And, of course, you know, Falcons are going to win everything, according to Falconaholics.
Yeah.
And the Saints, well, you know, they're weak in tight end. They're weak at wide receiver. They don't have any depth at quarterback. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because depth at quarterback is – well, okay. You know what? I was about to make a point that I can't make anymore.
Well, we can talk about quarterbacks. I thought we'd talk about quarterbacks.
Well, my point is this. If you have a superstar quarterback and he gets injured, what are the chances – I mean, nobody has that kind of depth, and then I just realized, well, tell that to the Eagles. So, you know, there goes that
theory.
Well,
that was an exception to the rule.
I agree. Bubby Brister was a good backup. So
it was an exception to the rule.
Right.
But
I do generally – look, there's going to be – I don't care who you are – a huge drop-off – on most teams,
yes,
if
absolutely.
You have a Hall of Fame type quarterback,
look at Green Bay,
or even a really good quarterback. Like I don't consider Matt Ryan, at least not. I mean, look, he still has time; he could blow up and become a Hall of Famer.
I don't think he's a top 5, but he's a top 15.
I think he's a very good quarterback. He's a solid quarterback, And the point is there's going to be a big drop off if a guy like that gets hurt. So,
all right, so name for me the backup to Matt Ryan in Atlanta. Yeah, nobody knows.
I don't know. Right, I mean, exactly. I would have to go and. I mean, I don't have that kind of time on my hands, man. I got walks to take, you know.
Chase kids.
Chase kids, the whole thing, man. I don't have time to look
at all
that stuff.
Eat the Cheetos when you fudge on your diet.
No, man. I'm good with the diet.
You sure?
No, I'm not sure. Speaking of diet, we had the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah. See, there you go.
Listen, we're trying to look. There's not a ton of Saints stuff up there, and we're bringing you. Like they
we're
used
still
to say,
bringing in-depth,
constant variety of sports.
Yes,
you know, whatever
exactly right.
It's the important stuff. But and that seems like the hot
dog. It's connected. They sell hot dogs at the Superdome.
Exactly. So you kind of transition.
Yeah.
Hot dog apparently is a big deal in the sports world right now because over the last 2 weeks, you got the woman who got the hit in the eye with
the
hot dog.
And slapped then, by the wiener.
We were going to do a top 10 about the wiener, but I was talked out of it. It says too soon. So too soon. Yeah, and I can do the.
Pushing that envelope.
Yeah, pushing the envelope. And not to mention, we got to get back in shape. He's not here to defend himself, but we get off the radio. It wasn't a week, and he just, I don't know, he just felt like dropping an F-bomb just for the sake of doing
just for it. Yeah.
Just because he could. I'm making jokes about doing it. I didn't plan on doing it. He does it. He's a rebel like that.
That's right.
But we got to get back in radio shape because in 2 weeks.
FCC ain't going to put up with that kind of
stuff.
No,
they don't put up
with it. I can't say that stuff on my show.
No. And we won't be able to say it anymore on the podcast.
That's right.
We could do a show.
Separate from the podcast.
Yeah, then what we could do
and
is
then
just
you pay
come
that
back.
Extra $19.95
in Bitcoin.
Or 0.0021 in Bitcoin.
In Bitcoin.
And you could have that extra hour.
And the only difference is show is, you know how some shows bleep out bad words?
Yeah, we don't
We'll come
out.
Back and we'll just put that's, bad words in there that we go. Didn't say.
Just for you.
Yeah, just for you guys.
And
that's
for the real Saints
the
fans,
audience.
We'll badmouth both the Falcons and the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, that's a given.
There you go.
That's a given. Let's see.
A little extra treat.
And then we're going to do some predictions. I think the prediction thing.
Yeah, sounds good.
We're going to try to come up with some unique predictions because I think at some point everybody's going to be tired of the, what do you think the Saints record's going to be? You know, so we have some unique questions. We'll get Tyler involved in this too since he decided he need a vacation day. You know, we offer for what, 13 days?
13 days.
Yeah, and he needs a vacation day. And I understand. That's hard work. I don't know if you guys really appreciate how much work
goes
into
this. Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I mean, at least 15 minutes before we go on air, I got to be in here getting things ready.
That's Dave.
And stop. Now, you see, I'm making jokes, and he's going to start telling me about the hours and hours of preparation.
Man, I do some serious prep work for this show.
The?
You told me the other day, out of the 90 players, I had 78 on there that were defensive linemen. That's what you told me. I had several pieces of paper in front of me. He's like, hey, look at that. So you got 78 people there.
I ain't going to lie. Okay, and if I hope it doesn't offend anybody, but the preparation I put in this show in off-season, very minimal. I mean, sometimes it's just to put on a show is kind of like,
I understand.
And you know, it's kind of like our chance to get together and talk and bull.
Have a good time.
And mess around and talk a little Saints. But yeah, I don't spend a whole bunch of time. Now, during the regular season, I start getting excited.
Another extra 5 minutes.
You know, putting up those little, put another 10 minutes. But no, seriously, when it's the season.
Yes.
I'm over there like just watching. Like every play I can get my hands on, and I'm sitting there diagramming.
Well, you follow up all the boards all during the season.
Yeah, and then
whereas
you know,
I don't.
Like last year I was doing those little videos to kind of explain how plays work for some people who are more interested in some of the, you know.
Man, that was good.
Technical
not
stuff.
Quite as good as Baldinger.
Baldinger.
Man, that dude is unbelievable.
Well, what he has that we don't have is that finger.
Yeah,
you got to have
exactly.
that finger that kind of leans the other way.
Yeah.
And just.
Can't quite get it there.
Wait, almost.
Oh, you almost broke it.
And then, and then you just kind of make sure that when you're talking, no matter what you do,
you always have that hand
finger
out
has to be
like,
out where everybody can see
right.
it.
You know, you got to bend one of them this way like this and
like
the other like that.
90-degree angle.
Well, I can't quite. I mean, my piano fingers are pretty strong, but I can't quite do that.
All right. I don't know if we covered it all.
I think we did. I think we're ready to start the show,
that's
brother.
Right. We prepared you for what's coming.
Just wait.
But don't remember, hey, we do have our breaking news team. Waiting for any Saints news that comes out.
That's right.
We will interrupt the show.
That's correct.
We'll interrupt the show for breaking Saints news as soon as
it pops up. Yep, there you go.
All right, so don't go anywhere. Let's get this show started.
Tonight on BS and Beer Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, it's the Action Suspense Airline Highway at 9:30. Followed by this year's award-winning suspense thriller, Camp Beast. Next, it's hilarious family fun suitable for all ages with Drew, Sean, and Mickey. Then, it's Sex in the Cell Block, the hot new show that's too racy for daytime. That's Sex in the Cell Block at 11 tonight. Then it's Saints Talk with Dave, Tomas, Heath, and the BS and Beer podcast crew. Every night here on the BS and B Radio Broadcast Corporation Incorporated, a limited liability corporation.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. It's just Tomas with me today. I got Tyler on the board, working hard, getting some statistics, doing all the stuff that he does. We call him the coach. Wait, Tyler, you guys finished with the offseason yet?
Yeah, we finished.
Yeah, so he's a basketball coach. The man knows his football, but he's a basketball guy. So
he's a real soccer guy, too, though.
Oh, you know what?
Congrats to England getting there, Tyler.
Say what?
Say congrats to you. You're an England fan.
That's right. I am an England fan. And America's not in it. And
yep. So you're awesome. Pulling for England there. France got in.
France is in.
Yep.
On MTT's goal.
Wait. This it's a family show.
Right. I said it right.
He said it correctly.
I said it correctly.
He said it.
Say it again, then.
MTT.
That's
okay,
correct.
We're not going to have that. Listen, we're not going to have that kind of language.
I'm sorry.
Here on the
I'm
show.
Sorry.
That it's I'm unacceptable.
Sorry. I had to dock your pay for that one.
Yeah, dock your pay for that one. All right, so let's get to the we're going to do the Madden ratings first, or did we say we're going to do the
you said you want to do the four finalists for the –
Okay, so here's the thing. Just recently, the news broke because if you're not aware of it, you should be. If you listen to the show, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, you have to be aware of it.
It should be that it was a shoe-in that Shreve was going to be – the play-by-play. That's everything that I was hearing, everything I was reading.
And we were all like, what?
And it didn't really make sense because as much as I like the guy, as much as he's a fan favorite, he's a media favorite, and because everything you hear, he's just a good guy. He's easy to work with. So I'm sure he got a lot of support from the media. It's just to have him and Deuce in the box just didn't seem – it just didn't seem like it would be something that would work. So then this week, apparently, the names that came out and these names, more familiar – guys that you're used to hearing doing the play-by-play. Sean Kelly, who he has all three of these guys, man. Joe Myers, Mike Haas. Now, I like Mike Haas, but when I hear Sean Kelly and I hear Joe Myers, they have that football, that broadcaster voice. It's to me, it's a little nostalgic. It's kind of I honestly can't think of Mike Haas right now off the top of my head, but the other guys – I can hear their voice in my head.
Yeah.
And I just
think because
that
Mike Haas is not as enthusiastic. When you hear Sean Kelly, and I mean both Sean Kelly and Myers are doing the Pelican games. And so if you listen to any Pelican games, you're gonna hear them. So you already have an idea they were, and like I said, they're more enthusiastic. You know, especially Sean Kelly. You hear him, he's kind of, you know, whereas Mike Haas a little bit more late. It's some more dude along the Streif kind of line, you
right
know? So I don't know what's going to come out, but don't be surprised if they pick somebody, do it this season, and at the end of the season go, maybe not.
Well, and I think that what you're saying
it's happened in the past.
Very viable. You have a guy that's been like Jim Henderson, who's been, I mean, he's
hard to replace.
He's locked in for so many years, and you just kind of assume that once they pick a guy, he's going to be the guy for a long time, but that's just not the case.
Yeah.
I think that you can see them working for a better fit if a fit doesn't, you know, happen right away.
Right.
So I don't know. To me, Sean Kelly, Joe Myers, I think both of those guys would be really good. And here's the thing. Being, you know, I was born and raised in Louisiana, and being always interested in Louisiana sports, you hear those guys. And what happens when you hear that voice over and over, it becomes natural. Yeah, it's like listening to a song. You listen to it the first time, it's like, and you listen to it a few more times, you start doing, hey, I like that, it's catchy. And it's like Jim Harthorne, LSU's voice. I mean, years and years went by where, you know, before radio broadcasts were so available on the internet, years and years went by where I hadn't heard his voice. And, man, the first time I was like, oh, this LSU game, and you listen to it on the – I wonder how many people, the young guys, don't even know about this. But back in the day, man, you have to find some obscure something another and listen to an LSU game on the internet, and you'd hear his voice. I'd hear his voice, and it was just nostalgic, man. It's like, man, why don't I listen to him more often? So to hear those guys' voices, I think just right off the bat, off the top of my head, hearing that voice in my head, I think that one of those two guys would do really well.
Yep.
That I'm not – I guess what I'm trying to say is I support Shreve and a lot of things. I wouldn't pick him over maybe –
Well, I'm gonna wait to pass opinion. I'd like to hear – you know, what I'd like to hear is each one of them do one of the preseason games.
Okay.
You got four preseason games. You got four finalists. Hey, let each one of them do one of the games.
You know, what's wrong with that? I think that's a good idea.
Give us an idea what they sound like. That'd be what I throw out there.
Well, and see how it works with Deuce and, you know, the whole.
Right, because it also has to be you have to create some kind of camaraderie, some kind of, you know, chemistry. And who knows which one of these guys will be a better fit.
I agree. And I'll use this show as an example. When we first started doing the show, it takes a minute to get chemistry, to know when a guy's going to talk, when the guy needs to shut up, when you step
up. I never
up,
shut
when
up. Because my wife says neither do you.
No, we can neither one
two
of us.
Two of us.
But you know, like.
But he's
really,
getting better.
He just knows he's just going to, he got nothing the whole time and just let us go. And when we get tired.
No, but he's getting better about, he talks during the break. And then he gets on his show and he's like, yeah.
He has so much to add. If you knew all the insight he has.
But he's getting better about it now.
No,
he
is.
He's talking
out being more
the show.
Assertive.
Yeah.
Well, and both of us had radio experience prior to the podcast. I think Heath is starting to get
catch on to it.
Yeah,
sure.
He's just getting more comfortable. But I think that you do develop chemistry. And listen, you could be a really good play-by-play guy. And then if you have to carry somebody else too much, all of a sudden you don't seem to flow as much as you used to when you get like the breaks and the choppiness and the interruption and all of a sudden you don't perform as well as you can because you don't have a real good chemistry with the other guy. So I think it's definitely something. I think it's a great idea. Why don't you split them up?
Each
do a game. You know?
Each do a game, or you know if they want to do each one does a quarter. You know,
why not?
I mean. You know, put them all in a box at the same time and see what
it
happens.
It might be a little overkill. And I mean, there's a certain point where it's like a little competition going on there.
Well, that's what it is.
Guy's all uncomfortable.
Well, hey.
You know, the other guy's in the back like snickering like he's like, oh, he dropped the football. And they're like, you know, laughing at him and stuff.
That was number 20, 30. Yeah.
Who was that? Great job, douchebag. You know, heckling him in the back and really putting the screws on him and pressure.
Look, you have to be confident. Now, that's the bottom line. We do this show. We do it podcast. We do it VCast. I'm not worried. It doesn't bother me at all that they have other people doing VCast and other people doing podcasts. Because you know what? We're the best. And so it's
humble, too. And we're humble.
I'm humble. But I'm also truthful. See, there's a difference you have to understand. I don't say I walk on water if I can't walk on water. So I don't say that.
I mean, I don't know. You to me, it's just getting deeper and deeper.
No, I don't think so.
No, I know you don't.
I'm very proud. I'm very proud of being part of the team here that does this VCast and that does this podcast. I'm very proud because I believe that we have the best chemistry, and I believe we have the best production. And so I'm proud to state that.
Well, I'm proud.
And I don't worry about the other people. Hey, you know what? They have to catch up with us. They might have more followers today. I'm just saying, today. Season's going to start up pretty soon. Our VCast is going to take off. You're going to see all the people following us on VCast because they want to know what's happening in the football game. And we're going
to
tell them.
Well, we're going to do the best we can to bring you that Saints news.
Again, if you have some question, not only can you hit us up on a hotline, but we also have an email address.
Email
us,
bsandbeer@icloud.com.
Matter of fact,
that's the easiest way. You want us to talk about something, you have a subject, you want to give us some feedback, send us the email. Very rarely does one of them not get on.
So if you watch the screen, if you're watching the VCast, you'll see that our great producer over there, he rolls along on that screen. See, there's my name. Pretty soon there'll be my Twitter account. See, because we want you to hit us up on the Twitter, too.
What's your Twitter account?
Tomas. No, that's not it. I'm sorry, that's not it. But okay, it's BS and Beer.
No, but here's the thing. It is.
Oh, Tomas19 at, I think it's Tomas19.
Yeah, you always give your name, which is fine. You can find that way, too. But when I was setting up these graphics, you say it like mine is at BS, Saints BS.
Right.
But the name is David Romero.
Well, yeah, of course. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So yours is actually at whatever that was that just scrolled up there. So mine's a different. So I don't know. It was something I realized.
I have several Twitter accounts.
No, you have like three or four of them.
because I have other.
Yeah, you try to keep everything separated.
I've got different things. BS and Beer Houdat.
Right.
That's mine. Now, it also says at Tomas Mauricio 19.
That's your Twitter handle. Tyler, what's that called? It's a Twitter handle? He's the millennial. He can explain all this.
Yeah, that's your Twitter.
My Twitter is not the first thing you read. It's your at Tomas Mauricio 19.
Really?
Yeah, so
see,
you got
I didn't
it backwards.
Know that.
Yeah. So.
But why does it say at Tomas Mauricio 19?
Well, because mine is at Saints BS. So you see, figure some new stuff out.
Well, hell's bells. Does that mean?
Well, now you know I take all that back. You're the one who turned me on to Twitter to begin with.
Yeah.
And now I'm teaching. Now the what is it? The subject is
grasshoppers teaching the master.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Okay.
Well, all right, let's get to some.
See, my other one's
stuff.
Just my name. If that's okay. Say my name.
If you can get it like that. If you can just find your name on there. Usually it's hard to be, but you have a pretty unique name.
All right. Plus, that one's really old. That's like when Twitter first started. Yeah. And that's my wine and beer Twitter account. Like, if you want to hit me up, talk about wine and talk about beer.
Like when it was before, like Moses had put real Moses.
That's right. That's all before that. We were using still stone tablets to check
Twitter
in.
Twitter chiseling.
Hey, all right.
Hey, let's get to the Madden rankings. So a couple of things I find interesting. But I'm start off, Marcus Davenport, his overall rating, 75. Now, here's the thing. I wouldn't expect him to be that high on the list. But 75, when you look at, and because I don't follow these things that much, is that good? Is it bad? And it doesn't sound like it's that good. So I think that's pretty low. Also, when you consider that Tre'Quan Smith, the receiver from in the third round, 72. Uh-huh. His speed is 89. Yeah. Catching 81, and whatever SPC is 84. Rick Leonard 65, Natrell Jamerson 67.
Yeah.
Interesting here, the guy picked after him, a round after him, Cameron Moore 68.
Mm-hmm.
So
remember they were debating which one to pick first.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Boston Scott.
Yeah, that's my boy.
A 72 overall rating.
There you go.
So somebody over at Madden. And Will Clapp, 62. Somebody over at Madden thinks pretty highly of Boston Scott over everyone. Well, he's tied with Smith, the receiver, third-round draft pick. Marcus Davenport, 75. So looking at all these, relatively speaking, and I think Tyler has a graphic up there. And what's that, different guys in the league? Well, this really puts it in perspective. So these
are
all
the top eight, and then Cam Jordan's the first Saint.
Is the first Saint at what?
25?
All right, why don't you read off the top eight people there, Tyler?
Number one, Tom Brady. He's got a rating of 90. The top six, 99. Seven guys all are rated 99.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's Brady and then Antonio Brown, Aaron Donald from the Rams, and they rate him as an RE. That's a right end.
Right. That's
so
going to help
them. They have some weird positions here.
Yeah.
Gronk. So the Patriots have, you know, two in the top five.
Yeah.
And you got Luke Kuechly from Carolina, obviously, 99. Yeah. Vaughn Miller. And then Aaron Rodgers is the
quarterback.
The second quarterback.
Second quarterback, yeah.
And you got Julio coming in at 8.
Yeah.
And Cam Jordan drops in for the first Saint at a 95.
95. So that'll tell you a lot about at least what Madden thinks of Marcus Davenport. So hopefully he comes out in his rookie year and exceeds at least Madden's expectations.
What's the highest ranked after Julio Jones, what's the next Atlanta Falcant?
I'll have to look it up.
All right, look it up for us.
All right. So,
and who's the highest Carolina Panther besides Kuechly?
I'll look that up too.
All right, good man.
All right, my man. So, I don't know, man. They don't think very highly of him. I mean, again, it's a video game. I just saw that, thought it was kind of interesting, and thought it was interesting relative to the other guys the Saints drafted, what they thought of Marcus Davenport. So it looks like, especially based on the top guys who are ranked 99, 98, Cam Jordan was 95. I mean, 75 is that's a pretty significant
fur
drop.
Fur piece down.
Yeah, that's a fur piece down. Now, what does it all mean? Absolutely nothing. But, you know, hey, it's interesting, right?
Well, you know, look, those numbers are going to be that way because, remember, there's still a lot of people, and that's not the way I want to say it, but, you know, there are a lot of people who follow the Saints who think it was a terrible pick. There are a lot of sportscasters who think it was a terrible pick. There are a lot of people on the Twitter world. Every place that follows me, every social media out there, there are a lot of people who think, man, the Saints blew it, you know. Not only did they pick the wrong guy in the first round, but they picked the wrong guy and gave up two first round. And again, that's still going around. Did we give up two or did we give up one? Or, you know, look, the bottom line is this. Like I said to somebody who said I was wrong, but every player out there, first-round draft choice, if you're not one of the top 10, it's a crapshoot. I mean, in my opinion. And then even there, I remind everyone, Cam Jordan, first-round draft pick. At the end of the first year, what do they think? He's a bust.
Yeah, he's a bust.
He ain't no good. Now, I just read an article. He's unstoppable. Of all the defensive ends out there, Cam Jordan is a guy you can't defend against.
The best all-around defensive end in the league.
This is from a guy who, after the first year, was like, man, what a bust. You know?
We blew that one.
So I'm just going to say to you, look, yeah, small school, okay. Maybe the numbers, because it was a small school, don't add up. That's what a lot of people say. Man, if a small school is that great, he should have been killing them. Hey, who knows? I'm willing to say this. Let's see where he is year one to two. Remember, we've always said, big, huge step forward year one to two. Let's see where he is in year two, and then let's see where he is in year three. Then talk to me about whether or not it was a wasted draft.
Well, I think what you're saying there, Tomas, is extremely reasonable. And I think the problem is that people aren't looking to wait. There are several factors. One of them, the draft picks last year, for instance, that's what people think now. That's the
yeah,
new.
Yeah, but Lattimore was a top five guy.
No, I get it. I get
okay?
it.
Okay, he was a sure make.
I'm not saying they're right, but what I'm saying is that Saints are going to be victims of their own success
when
it comes to perception.
Yes, yes,
so
yes, yes.
People looking like after last year, you know, Ryan Ramczyk, you're not going to get a lot of fanfare when you play right tackle, but everybody
played
thought
every game.
He played every game. He was great. He's a bookend.
And got better as the season went on.
He's a bookend offensive tackle.
Yeah.
So, again, the reason I'm pointing out that you don't get a lot of fanfare is because if he was a tight end or a receiver or something and had the same relative performance, people would be talking about, like, man, we had Lattimore, we had Ramczyk. But because he's an offensive lineman, he doesn't get the accolades that you see from fans and talking about. But he's an excellent player and is part of the reason why our draft was so incredible. Then the rest of the guys. The point is that and the fact that, and I'm including this group, everybody looks at the Saints as we got a window. Whether some people think, I think it's a 2-year window. Some people might think it's a 4-year window. Some people, but at the end of the day, based on the fact that they think that we have a small window to get this done, the idea of a guy taking 3 years to develop is not what people want to hear, you know. But the fact of the matter is, now listen, let's take into consideration and make sure we're on the same page when I say 3 years. That doesn't mean that he can't come out and have 5 sacks and be a difference maker on passing down. Because, again, 5 sacks, you might even say 5 sacks. But listen, if you're only playing, let's say you're playing most of the passing downs, but you're only playing 20% of first and second down, and those 5 sacks, that's just relative to how many pressures you get, how many times you get tackles behind the line of scrimmage, how many times you affect the passer, how many times a guy like Cam Newton rolls out one way and instead of being able to roll and get the edge, he cuts the edge off and Cam Newton throws it out of bounds and you think, oh, well, that wasn't much of a play. Had that defender not been there in this particular instance I'm talking about, Davenport, hadn't he been there, maybe Cam turns the corner and gets 15 yards of first down. And the drive continues for a touchdown. The point is his speed and athleticism on the field will make plays and make differences.
I agree with you.
That even though it doesn't show up in the stats and the sacks, will be so he's going to be better than what his stats will show, I think. But having said that, I'm not expecting 10 sacks and an ever-down player.
I'm not either. But two things that you said. One, definitely, we were our own worst enemies because we did so great last year in picking up so many good starters, especially on defense. Okay? So, so now the expectation is there. But the other thing is this, just like you said, how much is he going to play? Again, we're spoiled because Lattimore came in and played every game. You know, he was there the whole season. Okay, fine. Understand. But like I said, he's a top five. Okay? This kid that we drafted, he's not a top five. Okay? He's somebody potential. Now, you're discounting that we have Hendrickson. You're discounting we have Okafor coming back. You're discounting we have Anzalone coming back. And you're discounting that one kid that we picked up that now everybody was excited about last year, and we haven't heard a word from him, Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, when you look at it.
I think Muhammad might be a false prophet. But
well, he might be. He might be.
I got that.
May he be praised. But in any case. Now I'm going to catch hell for that. Okay. But in any case, we have a lot of players. There's no, he would have to be like incredible to be playing more than 20% of the downs in next year's defense.
Well, I think he'll play more than 20%. I think that the Saints will have him.
I think the only way that'll happen is if Okafor doesn't come back, Hendrickson doesn't come back. You know, if those kids that we had, they were showing potential before they got injured. If those kids don't come back, then I would say, yeah, then they're probably going to play him 67% of the time.
Here's the thing. Is right off the bat, I don't think that Okafor is going to be like 100% game one. So that's going to increase Davenport snaps. Okay,
but that
so,
brings Hendrickson in.
No, and I agree. And here's
and
the thing.
And now they've moved Kikaha someplace else. You know,
Kikaha, I'd be amazed if he makes
this
team.
I love Kikaha, but yeah.
And I do, too.
I'd be shocked if he makes this team.
I love the guy, and you just want him to be successful. Yeah. But here's the thing. So right off the bat, because he is a first-rounder that they gave so much up for, but here's the thing. It's not just because they gave up picks to get Davenport. It's they obviously loved his skill set. So they're going to find every opportunity. He's going to get 40-50% of the snaps.
I don't know, but I will say that I think he'll get better during the season, and I do believe that we've got a really top-notch defensive line coach. Because if you look at last year's tapes, I mean, I've been looking at all the tapes that I've got. You can see a lot of people are like, "Well, we're not doing too good in the middle. Davidson's not doing so good. Onyemata's not doing so good." This guy, I'm like, "Dude, did you watch all the film? Because if you watch the film, man, they were solid in the middle. It was really hard." Now, they may not be going in there and knocking the guy down, but they put enough pressure on the inside that makes the outside even better. You know, it's a game of you have to know what the scheme is. It's not, you know, when the ball is snapped, you four guys just go in there and tackle the quarterback. That's not the game that's played. You know it. The fellow that you like from Louisville.
Sheldon Rankin. Yeah.
A lot of people are like, man, he had a terrible year. Dude, look at the tape. He didn't have a terrible year.
The way that the Saints played Rankins was not conducive to him making a lot of plays. But here's the thing, and I know they're just single plays here and there, but every once in a while you'll see him flash with a play. There was one play just recently that somebody was passing around on Twitter, and it was a play where he was going up and godly the Falcons center who's an all-pro Mac.
Yeah,
he used him up. And I'm like, again, you can't judge a player by one play.
No.
Because Sheldon Rankins wouldn't have been a top first-round draft pick if he didn't have skills. So you can't fall in love with a guy because one out of 20 plays he flashes that skill that made him a first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Having said that, I've also seen Sheldon Rankins when you're sitting there watching the film and he's so much stronger. Because he's not like a huge guy. He's not a Ndamukong Suh body.
Yeah.
But he's a very strong guy, and he holds up. Like, he's a very good all-around player. And the thing is, he missed half of his rookie year. Now he's coming into his third year. Onyemata.
Yeah.
If we can get Hendrickson.
Davidson. These guys are young.
I would not be surprised at all if all of a sudden.
Big step forward.
A huge step forward by the whole defensive line.
Yes, yeah.
And that'll change everything.
Yes,
all
absolutely.
Of a sudden, the linebackers are making more plays, and you're like, man, hypothetically, Robinson, man, he's so much better. It's not that he's playing better. It's just the defensive line is playing so well, the linebackers can flow to the ball.
Yep.
And so, again, this is the time of year where my homer glasses, because I like to believe that I try to be as fair. I'm a Saints guy, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. But the off season is where the black and gold glasses get thick, simply because you're just thinking about what could be. Now, once the season starts and you're four games into the season, look, unless you're just a diehard that doesn't look at things realistically, you can start saying, well, that didn't happen because this guy isn't playing as like last year. And I still think he's going to have Onyemata. I wrote an article about it, put it out there. I don't write a whole bunch, so when I do it, you know, but that was my guy. I thought he was going to be the key. And he had a good season. He played well. He got better throughout the season.
Yep.
He played his best ball at the end of the year.
And you especially like when he hit
destroyed Cam Newton. He's my hero. Thing about
he
it,
didn't
though.
Get concussion, though. He didn't
no, no, concussion. No, no concussion. No, no, no concussion on that play. But I expect Onyemata, I think maybe I was just a year too premature. I think this year he's going to have a huge step up.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
I'll be disappointed if he doesn't.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you. I've taken my Saints glasses off. See, they're right here.
Okay.
Because I did want to say this. I don't want to get too excited. You know, I love my Saints. And, you know, Dave will tell you all the time. Anybody talks bad about my Saints, dude.
True story.
Yeah, you're in trouble. But as I've been preparing for the season, looking through everything, checking the position players and so forth and so on, I am really starting to be concerned about our schedule. We are playing every playoff team like back to back. You know, if Goodell, really has it out for us. He's made it quite clear with the schedule for this year. It's a tough schedule. It really is. I would say, and I don't know, I'm sure that our crack statistician over there is going to find out exactly where we're ranked, but we've got to be close to the number one or two hardest
schedule. Yeah, strength of schedule.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I believe that that's already been, just right off the bat, the fact that we played Atlanta twice and we played Carolina twice.
Yeah, but I'm talking about we're playing the Vikings, we're playing the Eagles, we're playing the Rams.
And that's designed by schedule that the first place team in this division plays. So you're going to have, when you have a successful season, you're a playoff team.
Sure.
Because here, it's not even about you. And like, well, it's about the NFL saying, hey, how can we get these playoff teams playing each other during the season?
Well, because, you see, they want parity. That's the whole thing. So
they want parity, they want ratings. They want, like, listen, how many times during the season – were you and I sitting there, and it's like, I remember Heath, because, you know, Heath, he watches a game, but every other weekend, he has obligations,
right.
So he has to leave.
Yeah.
There are times where I'm sitting there, and I'm looking around, I'm like, I'm excited, the Saints are playing, and then I look around, I'm like, what other games are we going to put on to, and I'm like, there's nothing.
Nothing else
and
then, on.
And I'm thinking, well, we're playing Tampa Bay. To everybody else in the NFL, that game sucks.
Right.
And so literally, there are weeks when there's just not, so the NFL wants those playoff teams playing so they can have headliner games. So that's
I think they should space them out a little bit better than they do. I mean, if you're playing, if all the top teams are playing each other in game number two, when game number 15 comes up, you don't have that. Nobody's, everybody's like, dude, these are like really bad games.
Right.
We got the Bengals playing against whoever they're playing, and you know
what really blows is the same thing why the Saints were where they were in the seeding for the playoffs. If the Saints didn't have to play the Vikings, the Rams. They had to play all the top teams. I guess in a way you say, hey, man, we got our seed because we beat the other teams. But I don't know. I just feel like certain years, like last year, just felt like we had to play every playoff team. And
when
we had to play them all on the road.
And when they were hot.
And when they were hot.
Yeah.
And then also when the Saints were still trying to feel their way around.
Well, like, the first game against the Vikings.
Yeah,
that was
Vikings.
A nightmare.
Like the Saints were still trying to figure out what they were doing, you know?
Yeah,
so
Yeah. But, well, we'll see. Again, hey, you know, when you put yourself in the crucible, you get rid of the.
And that's the thing. Listen, you know, I don't look at things.
Purity comes out of the force of heat, you know?
I look at things. I don't look at it like I hope we can. And I don't mean about the Saints, about in general. I go into a game saying, look, I don't hope we can win this game. If we're good enough, we will win the game.
That's correct.
And so at the end of the day, you go into a game and it's not, I hope I can win. It's like we find out today if the Saints are good enough or if LSU or whoever you pull for, we'll find out today if they are the better team than the other team.
I agree with you.
Now, at the end of the game, sometimes you were the better team and you fumbled that ball away and ran it back for a touchdown. Then the next day, you're like, we are the better team still. But the point is that last year we went to the Rams. We lost. I mean, okay, so that was an example. We didn't have Lattimore, which is a complete defense changer.
Right.
You know, maybe it would have been a different game. Had we played the Vikings in week 11 as opposed to week one,
would have been a different outcome. Sure.
Had we played the Vikings at home in week 11, would have been a different outcome.
Yeah.
The Rams, same thing. You know, it's like, so there's so many factors that really it's like, man, when you get in those playoff seedings. But I'll tell you what, look, I thought the Vikings were in the NFC. I thought, well, I until the Eagles went down, I thought the Eagles were the best team in the NFC South. And I thought that the Vikings were right behind them. Never thought that we went in. I still remember that playoff game. At halftime, we were all kind of like, well, you know, hey, good season. I'm not going anywhere. I'm watching the rest of the game. But all of us, and I'm sure most of the Saints fans were just kind of like, well, it's over, you know.
But I knew we were going to come back.
But, I mean, now I look at it and say, man, if we wouldn't have been so banged up. I mean, because one of the reasons the Vikings were in the position they were, they were one of the healthiest teams in the league last year.
Yes, that's true.
So, you know, we're playing them. If we would have played them in week 11 at home, then maybe we're not playing Minnesota in Minnesota. My point is there's just a lot of factors that go into that regular season schedule.
Sure,
and it determines the playoff schedule. But I tell you what.
But at this point right now, I have to go back to what Dave says. When you have that many ifs, you have a problem. If Davenport works out, if Okafor comes back, if Anzalone comes back, all of a sudden you got all these ifs.
Let me counter that, though.
Here's
what I'm going to say about
that. Oh, now you're going to play devil's advocate the other way.
I'm
going to
play devil's advocate against my own my own statement, saying or whatever, is if your quarterback can do this, and if your left tackle can, and if your cornerback can come back healthy, and if your suspended running back, we have some issues at defensive end. You just name, like, all we need is one of those ifs to come in and play pretty well. We need our third-round draft pick from last year, Hendrickson. If he comes back and plays, you know, 20%
right
better,
yeah,
20% better than he did as a rookie, which you would expect in his second year. If Davenport can give you, you know, those 40% of the snaps and get you six sacks and pressures and athleticism and force a couple of plays that might have been plays you just don't really think much about. You know, what I'm talking about is how many times do you see in a passing situation, even when you have the lead, where you rush for and you get no pressure and the quarterback, and they, oh, man, he has all day long to throw. Now, all of a sudden, maybe you don't get that initial pass rush, but with his athleticism, you don't get 8 seconds to throw. He comes out, you know, he won't get the initial pressure, but he's too athletic to stay blocked. My point is that you're talking all about one position. All we need is one of those ifs to step up, and we're solid at that position. So I think that that's a lot of ifs.
Well, that's a different story from last year.
No, I'm just saying.
That wasn't Dave's story last year.
I'm saying it's one position. If because
yeah, but you got several positions that are like that.
Okay.
If Anzalone comes back. Because you don't want Robertson playing out there again.
I agree. If Anzalone comes back.
If Anzalone comes back.
Here's the thing. If Anzalone comes back, our defense can take a step up because of his athleticism and speed. But if Robertson has to play, it's not the end of the world.
No, it's not the end of the world.
He's a solid NFL linebacker.
Yes, but he'll get beat to the corner on more than one occasion.
And here's the other thing. If Robinson, I agree with that. There were plays, especially the Viking
you
game.
You saw that.
That I mean, he just, you get the ball in space, and instead of coming up and stopping it at a 4-yard gain, the receiver would get the angle on him, and it'd be a 12-yard gain, a first down. But here's the thing. Linebacker situation, if Anzalone doesn't play, I still think that we have other guys that can play, replace, because Robinson, while I think he's solid, his lack of athleticism is so obvious when he's on the field. That you have other guys, Klein could then step in for Anzalone.
But is Klein going to come back?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's another if because he had a serious injury. Well, he had a serious injury.
Not serious enough to jeopardize his season. He'll be back. I mean, am I missing something?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, because, I mean, what did he have?
He was out at the end of the season. No, he hurt an ankle.
I get it, but I didn't think it was any kind of injury that would, I mean, you got guys blowing out Achilles. I'd have to look at that, but I haven't even really paid attention to it because I'm saying is I didn't think it was anything serious. I'm not saying I think I'm right. I'm just saying that I'm not one of those people to start beating a drum if I don't know I'm right. And the point is I haven't paid attention
to
it.
I'm the voice of authority.
Well, you do. You say things I'm right. And it's like, well, what I'm saying is this. I didn't hear anything. I had no reason to believe that his injury was anything to worry about. Yeah. So I'm not going into I didn't think but if I go do some research and find out that the injury was nerve damage or something to his ankle, but I would have heard something by now. So I don't think that's the case. I think he's going to be fine.
Just remember that he was diagnosed by the Ochsner team.
Okay. See, now you're just trying to, that's one of those statistics you throw out there. You win. Well, you know, it's not fair. You just throw that out there and I'm like, okay, what am I going to say? So, and then not to mention Anzalone, I heard that they used the cadaver of a lumberjack. And his shoulder.
I'm a lumberjack, and that's okay.
he can't lift his arm above his waist, but you know that you'll never get dislocated again.
There you go.
So,
all right, guys, I got a couple of questions, y'all.
All right, go ahead.
So here's the NFL strength of schedule. Let that update for a second.
See, tied for number two.
You're tied for number two.
Ooh, with Gary's team.
It says this is based on opponents' winning percentage from last year.
There you go.
You got Tampa at four, and then you got actually five teams tied.
It's fine.
For fifth, the one that I couldn't fit up there. I'm sorry. The Bears are actually eighth, tied for eighth. Everybody else is right. Yeah.
Okay. So we have Green Bay with the hardest schedule. Tied at second is Detroit and New Orleans.
Correct.
Yeah. Fourth, Tampa Bay. A bunch of teams tied at fifth. The Rams, Seattle, Cleveland, and
Chicago's actually eighth.
And Chicago's eighth. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you call it. And listen, I didn't know what it was. I thought I heard something about it being one of the toughest schedules.
It's one of the toughest
Having
ones.
Said that, right off the bat, if you got two teams in your division that's winning 12 games, and, you know.
And that's the thing that they're talking about. They're talking about, you know, every team in the division except for Tampa Bay is going to have double-digit wins.
Well, you know what right. I'm.
Carolina's got the 12th hardest schedule, and Atlanta's right after them at 13.
Well, you know, I was just about to say, I wonder why, because if you look at Atlanta and Carolina, they have to play the Saints, and they had to play – they have to play.
Yeah, but I bet they're not playing the Rams.
Probably not.
And I bet they're not playing Philadelphia. Who are we playing? What the – I can't remember now who it is that the South is playing. I think we're playing Pittsburgh and
yes,
Cincinnati.
Yes, that's right.
And Cleveland.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's who we're playing.
Yeah. Isn't that the Central?
Yeah, I think so.
AFC Central.
Yeah.
So that's
why they don't have to play the Rams. They don't have to play Vikings. They don't have to play the Eagles. That's why they're further down.
Because that second place schedule as opposed to that first place schedule. So
Third place schedule.
Third place schedule. All right. So you want to take a quick break?
Any other question there?
Yeah, you asked about the Madden rankings.
Okay.
The next highest player behind Kuechly and Jones from the division is Levante David from Tampa Bay. He's also 95.
Okay.
Then the next person below Cam Jordan is Desmond Trufant from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then Greg Olsen.
Yeah. He's a good player.
Drew Brees comes right after them at a ranking of 91. I don't know what number he is, but his rating's 91.
Well, you know what? What's funny is that with a guy like Drew Brees, and I'm just talking video game-wise, I can only imagine, like, well, speed. He ain't really that fast, so you know,
exactly. Yeah,
okay,
yeah, yeah.
You know, like strength. Wow, man, you know, so
height.
So they have to come up with like what intangibles? 100, and that's not enough to make the average super high.
Yeah,
but I know that playing with Matt. I had a nephew, man. And he used to get him. He'd be so mad because I'd always play with the Saints and Drew Brees. Everything he threw was just completion. So anyway, I used to. You asked about those games. I don't do it anymore, but for the longest time. I'm not a big video game guy, but I'd always buy the most recent Madden, and I would play like one season, and then it'd go back in the box. You know, I just play the whole season through the Super Bowl, and it'd go back in the box.
Oh, there you have it.
Oh, yeah, because I can't stand it. Nowadays, you're playing online with these people, and it's like some, like, 8-year-old, and they're just crushing you. And they do the thing where they drop back like 40 yards and then scramble around, and then you can't catch them, and then they end up throwing like an 80-yard pass, and it's just so they know how to manipulate the game.
Right.
And then they had the thing. Oh, I just remember this. I guess for your stats or whatever, you have to finish the game. So what they'll do is they'll just put their game down and walk away. And if you have the ball, you get a 5-yard penalty. You get a 5-yard penalty till you back to your own end zone. And then you just have the distance. And so it just stays there until the other person just quits. And then you get the win.
Yeah.
And I'm like, as some kid tried that with me, and I was like, what the hell? And then he's like, he don't understand that. I only play this game like once every 3 months. So I'm like, I sat it there. I didn't turn it off. But I come back the next day. It was still there. I'm like, so some of these kids, man, they know how to manipulate all that stuff. Go.
One other fun fact here. Drew Brees is the highest rated quarterback. Matt Ryan's at 89. Then Cam Newton at 88. And then, as Tomas likes to call him, Crab Legs, at 80.
At 80.
At 80, and he has three kickers ranked above him.
How about that?
Three kickers ahead of.
Wow. All right.
Well, hey, I tell you what. You want to take a break?
Yeah,
and then what we'll do is we'll come back. We got a couple of minutes, and we're going to go over some predictions. We have
all
some
right,
fun predictions.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more BS and Beer Podcast.
BS and Beer Podcast. The worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Tomas Mauricio with me. I'm serious. I immediately want to say, Heath Elson-San. So what I'm going to start doing now is like Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San is not with us today.
There you go.
And then Tomas Mauricio.
In absentia.
Tyler over there in the control room. We do have what I consider like a fun little game where we're going to do a couple of predictions. Tyler, you know, let's go to four or six, and you can be part of this. Let's see.
All right.
So I'm going to ask the questions here. The first one I have is who's going to have the third biggest rushing total at the end of the season?
Third, and I'm saying it's going to be Boston Scott.
Boston Scott.
He's going to have the third. That's right.
All right.
For all our listeners out there in the Ruston. And don't forget now, we're worldwide.
Worldwide,
that's
yes.
Right.
Worldwide.
We're going all the way to Shanghai.
Shanghai.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at the world map, get that all put together.
Okay.
Tyler, you have any ideas?
I think Drew Brees breaks off a couple 100-yard rushes.
Nice, nice, nice. Go. I like it. Like
end zones, trick plays.
Well done. All right. So here's one that's almost like a legitimate question.
Are you going to answer?
You know what? here's the thing. Golly, I think it's going to be the kid that we just picked up from that played for Baltimore last year. I can't remember his name.
West,
yes. I think it's going to be West. Mm-hmm. All right. So, all right. Backup quarterback. This is kind of a this is going to be kind of a almost legit question. And so, is Tannehill going to be the backup, or are we going to go with the guy from Houston, Savage?
I personally don't think it's going to be either one of those guys.
What?
Yeah.
Oh man.
I think that we're going to end up with Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to come in here, and he'll be the backup.
Okay.
I'm like,
I don't know where this is going.
Well,
but
there was some talk. No, I'm being serious now. There was some talk about the possibility of the Saints. It came up a couple of different places on the social media that the Saints should probably make an effort to sign Teddy Bridgewater because they got too many players over there in the, for the Jets, and maybe he'd make a good backup to Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed about it. Because I really think that it's going to be.
He's still got a decent contract, though, right? I mean, he's a multi-million-dollar contract. No, I don't remember.
I don't think so, because I think that he was at the end of that rookie contract.
Yeah, I mean, no, he was a free agent. Remember all the Vikings quarterbacks
were
free agents?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he signed I don't think he signed a big contract.
And I was in Vegas at the time, so I don't remember.
So you won't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember much. Yeah.
No, but I'm seriously, I think it'll be Taysom Hill. I don't think. Look, if you go back and a lot of people, look, he sucked when he was at Houston.
No, I know.
You know,
I know.
So
really,
I mean,
here's the thing. The question more is, do you buy in the hype of
JT Barrett? No,
not JT Barrett. I hadn't even thought about him, but of
Taysom
Hill.
Yeah.
So okay, Tyler, you have an opinion?
I got nothing.
All right. So Heath is here today. All right. I think it's gonna be Savage.
You think it'll be Savage?
Just I want it to be Hill, but I just like I'm using this like. Listen, any offseason you're going to look back or any season you're going to look back and say, here are the things that worked out the way you thought they were going to.
And here's the one. Yeah.
And so, like, you got to believe that some things aren't going to turn out right.
All right.
And if I have 10 things, like our defensive end we were talking about.
Yeah.
Well, I want that to turn out right, so I have to pick something that's not going to turn out
right.
Let it be the backup quarterback.
All
right.
All right.
So let's move on. Will Ben Watson have more receptions than Josh Hill and Yeldon, the undrafted free agent rookie, combined?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I think that there's some question to this because at the end of the season and in the playoffs, Hill stepped up. And I wonder how much of that is, you know, like maybe, you know, Sean
Payton.
Because
we needed
thinking,
to win the game, and so he threw the ball to him four
times.
Yeah,
he's
times
just
a big
time. He's like what they would say about Chris Carter. He only catches touchdowns.
He only makes
big plays when we need him.
That's it.
That guy sucks. He only makes big plays when we need him.
All right.
So I'm going to say – I'm going to go with the Hill – I'm going with Hill and the undrafted
connection.
And Yeldon. Not that I think Yeldon's going to do much.
Yeah.
I think he's a good prospect. I think he's a developmental guy.
Yeah.
But I think Hill will actually have more receptions than Ben Watson.
All right. We'll
all right. All right. How many sacks will Davenport have? Davenport.
I give him four.
Four? Tyler, any idea?
I'll go over that.
You can go. Five. Oh, you just, oh, I should have done over and
oh,
under.
Oh, on the over and under. Well, go ahead, change it
okay.
now. Go ahead.
Okay. So new question. What's the over and under for Davenport sacks? And I'm going to put it at five. Five and a half.
Five. I'm gonna keep moving.
Here's the half.
Four and a half.
Four. At five and a half, I take the under.
Okay, five and a half, the under. Four and a half.
I'm gonna go push. I think you hit the number on the head.
Yeah.
I think it's five and a half.
Five and a half.
So you're gonna push on five and a half. I'm gonna take under five and a half. What are you gonna do?
I'm going to go over.
Over.
I'm
well,
go
then
over.
We covered the whole gamut.
Yeah,
right,
we got it all covered. We have to remember this. We're going to pull this
five,
up.
You better write that down.
The plan is to actually pull the audio year at this time.
All right.
And see how we came out.
Yeah,
see how we came out. That's why I was trying to come up with some creative ones here.
All right.
All right. So, Cameron Meredith versus Ted Ginn and the rookie Smith.
Yeah, Traquan Smith.
Which one has more receptions?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with the rookie and Ted Ginn.
Okay. Tyler?
Say it again.
Okay. So Cameron Meredith, our free agent who we signed from the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
And Ted Ginn Jr. and our third-round draft pick, Smith. So Cameron Meredith by himself versus the combined receptions of Ted Ginn and Smith.
I'm going to go with a pair of them.
Okay.
There you go. Me too. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I think that Ginn – will probably step a little bit back into his traditional role of being the guy that spreads the defense and is a deep threat. There were some games in there where I was so proud of him, but he took some big hits. I remember Atlanta in particular.
Yeah.
And I think it was out of necessity. You know, you start doubling Thomas, and he was really our only next best option.
Yep.
And I don't think he's built that way, and I don't think the Saints want him to take that pounding. So I think that he'll have less receptions, and I'm going to go with Cameron Meredith overcoming that injury and stepping up and being a big part of the team. So I'm going to go with Cameron Meredith.
All right.
Over the Rook and Ted Ginn Jr.
All right, we'll see.
All right, so here we go. Will Kamara have more receptions in the first four games than all the tight ends combined?
During the first four games?
No, during the whole season. During the whole season.
So only four games for Kamara.
Kamara.
But the entire season for the tight end.
For all the tight ends
on the team. All the tight ends combined. So who will have more receptions?
Who will have more receptions?
Nah, I'll go with the tight ends.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with the tight ends as well.
Yeah, I might have had to throw a little something on top of that because, and here's the other thing is when I started telling you about these questions during the break, it's like, who are you playing? So do you expect to be up by 30 points? Right. You know, do you expect to be a struggle? To really answer that question, because I don't know if it'd really be that tight, but I could see Kamara having 30 receptions. In those four games.
Not touches.
No, receptions.
Receptions.
Okay. I can see
swing passes.
Yeah, swing passes, screens. You know, yeah. I mean, the guy is, you know, by the end of the year, he's running routes. You know what I'm saying? He's running routes like a receiver. I don't think that's going to be as necessary because, quite frankly, we have a better receiving core than we had last year.
Yeah.
So.
See, again, he's playing double. That's not what he said just a couple of weeks ago.
I think our receiving core has potential.
See, I said that, and you're like, oh, where? We lose one guy, and we got nothing. That's what you said?
I still think they have
potential.
Pick up the tape.
Yeah, pick up the tape.
I still believe that. If we lose Michael Thomas, we're in trouble.
Right.
But I believe if Michael Thomas is healthy, you have good supporting cast, a really good supporting cast, and the potential, because I think Meredith can be a beast. So I think you have a good supporting cast, but then there's another if Cameron can overcome
that
injury. So, but the thing is, I think they can. So, I think that's. I don't know that maybe that was more for entertainment value than it was because I don't think our Titans are going to produce a whole bunch this year.
All right.
And anyway, and Kamara's going to definitely have a big first four games. All right. So, who be the camp beast?
I have two possibilities. But I'm going to go with the one that I think is going to be the camp beast, Boston Scott.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with that. Yeah, Tyler, you have any?
I'm going to go with the kid from West Kentucky.
Oh, you like Yelder. Oh, okay. I see where you're going with that. All right, yeah, because I think he's just a scat back, and they always look good in training camp.
Big and strong, too.
No, you know, I'm not taking anything from him, but those guys are just more flashy. And listen, training camp, there's tackling, there's hitting. Not a lot of tackling, but and the thing is, but it's not a game.
All right.
So,
well, that was my offensive guy. I did have one guy.
Oh, you
on
want to throw somebody else? Go ahead. Let's hear it.
That I thought might be surprising to people. I think Mallette might become a camp beast.
Oh, author?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think again, I see a real giant step forward for him defensively and in the defensive backfield.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So one more question. Will Devontae Harris, Austin Carr, and Muhammad find their way onto the practice squad?
I believe Muhammad, yes. I believe Devontae Harris,
okay.
Sorry, even though he was one of my UFAs that you all like to trade.
You know what? Listen, there's something to be said, although his career has been very maligned.
See, the whole thing is something that
He
practices great.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. This is why he started the games.
Yes.
Because he practices great.
Yeah.
And so the coach is like, yeah, but he gets into a game and he freaks.
He just stays fright.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, it's like, so no. I think he's had his chances. I know they signed him again, but considering who else they have back there, I like some of the other undrafted free agents that we'll talk about in another show.
Okay.
And like Mallette's stepping up. So, no, I don't see any place for Devontae Harris.
Okay.
The kid Carr, I'm not sure. The wide receiver thing is, I'm kind of.
See, I've heard good things about the kid from LSU, and I'm like, I don't know where he's going to fit. Yeah.
You know, I think we have four people that we know are going to make this team. That leaves only two positions open if we take six wide receivers.
Yep.
And I think those last two positions are going to be a dogfight, man.
Yeah.
Because I think there's some people that. You know, I still think we're still looking for the Quiet Storm backup. You know? And I think the Saints are still, the coaching staff is still looking for that guy, you know, who's got range, he's a big body, and he'll go out there and catch that ball.
Okay, I don't know if that came over, but anyway, yeah, you
know
what?
Well, one a day, look, you got to give him his props, man. The guy can block. That's why he's made this team over and over and over.
I agree. I just don't know if fifth or sixth guy's got to be a good special teams player.
Yeah,
he's just
not,
not really.
Yep.
But he does have skills that help the team. I just don't know if – I mean, like, it, what's funny is that you could be the number three receiver on a team this year. Next year, another guy can come and replace you as the number three guy, and you're off the team.
That's right.
Because
you
number three receiver, number three receiver is a actual receiver who plays in the games,
right,
and catches balls.
Right.
Number four receiver, you hope
borderline
is a special teams guy.
Yeah,
you
five and six for sure.
Yeah, you hope that he can catch the ball and play receiver pretty well.
Yeah.
And I'm painting with a broad brush right there, but generally speaking, you could go from and he's a prime candidate because he's not a great receiver. But he does some good things that helps the team. If you find somebody who can do those things okay and can be a good receiver, he's not a four guy.
No.
So that's why I think it's going to be questionable. But anyway.
Well, that's why I said the five and six position is going to be a dogfight.
Dogfight.
And we'll talk about it in another show coming up. We'll evaluate. I will. I'll bring all my papers in with the 78 wide receivers that we have.
That's right.
And I will evaluate the wide receiver situation.
All right. You got any final thoughts?
I got nothing.
I got nothing. Oh, man.
In honor of our guy.
Of our comrade. All right. Well, hey, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Tyler Kissner in the booth, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll catch you next week. Ready for football season, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.
Everyone is a so dumb, miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, we have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Oh, bye, no.